Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Thursday, August 24th. Welcome to the show. And hi, Rachel.
Good morning.
Hi, Rachel. Sam and hi, Rachel.
Actually, can we rename it?
Yeah.
Sam and hi, Rachel in the morning.
Exactly. That would be good, right?
I like it. It's catchy.
Yeah.
It may. I feel like I'm going through a branding crisis. Like, who am I, right? Who's the person you sit next to?
Yeah, I think you know who you are pretty much.
But all my nicknames, you know what I mean? Like, how many? Right. I mean, I guess maybe I have a nickname for each personality and day of the week. So.
That's true, right? That's good. You should just wear a t-shirt telling which personality you're wearing every day.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, that's good to be laughing this morning because I'm a little pissed because
we
have a no-show guest.
I know. Well, fuck them.
But
I'm here.
Exactly.
I ride or die for you.
Through
sunshine, through rain, through periods, through everything, you know.
Right.
Menstrual.
Well, I really appreciate that.
Always here for you.
It's like, well, at least you put me in a good mood because I was upset the guest is not here. But I'm not going to badmouth them. Maybe they forgot. Maybe they'll still show. I don't know.
You know what? Whatever. You know? It's Thursday. We're one day closer to Shabbat. You know,
you
got to bring the Shabbat spirit into this on Thursday. Whatever we got to do. We're the week of the eclipse.
Right.
We have so much to celebrate. You know, North Korea hasn't killed us yet. I mean,
that's true.
Life is going on.
Yeah. And Trump hasn't killed us yet either.
Yeah, there you go.
That's something to get up for, huh?
It is.
In the morning.
Something.
Well, it's too bad because we were going to talk about a really cool movie that the guest has made.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I really like that Holly Shorts Film Festival. I went to it a couple years in a row. My ex is a filmmaker and he submitted and has won a couple of films through that film festival. And it's a really cool, as we were talking about shorts yesterday, I thought it was interesting that they noted like shorts are on the comeback, and it makes sense because of our attention span. You know, anytime you hear a movie is over 2 hours, you know, you can hear the groans within the movie reviews. Like, it was 2 hours.
Right,
prepare yourselves. So I think that's so cool.
Yeah. You know, the big movies they used to make were like 2.5 hours, you know, almost three.
They had intermissions, no?
No, I'm talking like only a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But the movies now, like Dunkirk, for example, a huge movie, was only about 1 hour and 40 minutes.
Wow.
So I think they're realizing, we better cut this down, you know?
Yeah, I mean, also just how we watch movies is changing too. I mean, like, movies are expensive, if you think about it, to go to one of those theaters, even if it's not a luxury theater, a night out, you know, when you would rather wait a couple months and just in the luxury of your own home.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, a couple is over $50 to go to the movies, you know, and it's crazy. I mean, who wants to spend that kind of money to sit in a theater for 2 hours?
Yeah.
You can have a nice dinner and everything and enjoy yourself a lot more than watch the movie on TV.
Right.
You know. So, I don't understand that, but that's what we have, and that's why I think
it would be cool to see if it... I mean, I know, like, you know how brick and mortars are changing, like how we shop and
online,
shop online and everything, and how and actual stores are closing down, and I'm wondering if how we watch movies, you know, it's already changing where everything is on demand, if maybe they'll be... Like, I think certain... Like, even in hotel rooms, you can get recently new... movies like that are still in theaters as they advertise it. So I'm wondering if there'll be like a way that instead of watching going out for movie premieres, like you pay an extra price and you'll get the movie right as you know
at home,
right
yeah,
at home.
Yeah. I guess, but then it would mean the movie theaters are going to disappear, and I don't think the The
I know movies still
really
going out to movies is still a thing, but I'm wondering if like the trends have changed with the times, you know, with everything on demand and streaming and stuff.
Well, you know, it's had a lot of chance to change, but people still go to the movies. So, but I don't think as much as people used to.
And so people still shop in stores, just not as, you know, just not. That's crazy how the trends change, you know.
And that's the problem with malls today. I think there's nothing left other than just clothing stores. You know, and so it's boring, you know. I mean, I used to take my kids to the bookstore, to the video store, to the toy store.
We don't even read books anymore.
Right. To the toy store, to a game store. I mean, they had everything in the mall.
It makes so much sense, though, to pay for that to pay rent for a retail space. It's just like, who needs it when everything can be bought online and for a global, you know, market, if you will.
Yeah, they can't compete. But I think they still have a place.
You remember, like, taking your kids shopping, you know, and, like, that's, like, you know, what you do on the weekend. You know, you have that experience where you go toys in the toy store, and it's just not like that anymore.
And you play with other kids in the mall and stuff. So you don't see that anymore, and that's unfortunate, you know.
And it's, like, almost like a coming of age when you're, you know, in 7th and 8th grade to, like, go to the mall with your friends. That was your escape from the house. It was something safe that you could do out in public that your parents would trust that you were not getting into trouble doing, you know what I mean?
Right, so, like, take me to the mall.
Where are kids going to do that now, you know?
I know. They don't do that anymore. What are they going to do in the mall?
Now they're just going to connect online, virtual reality malls, maybe.
I know, and then we blame them for being on the phone all the time. Yeah, the world sure is changing, let me tell you, man. I don't know where we're going to be, but, you know. Did you see that already celebrities are talking about the 2020 elections? There's a few people wanting to run already.
Yeah, I've seen, like the was The Rock one of them? I don't
know. The Rock and Tom Hanks.
Kid Rock or something. Yeah. I'm like, how many Rocks...
The Rock and Kid Rock. That's true, right?
Are you kidding me? Literally.
I would take Tom Hanks as a president, though, right?
Yeah, honestly.
Right?
I mean, a piece of meat would be better than just like, you know, uncooked, red, freshly sliced meat. I think that's, it's a sign of the times. I was on Twitter, actually, reading today, just like there's a lot of interesting stuff on Twitter and threads and things that you can get lost into the Twitter rabbit hole.
Right.
And there was this reporter that did research on just like the accounts that Trump retweets and how a lot of them are like seemingly they seem like bots,
right?
But they are actually being run by people in Russia. Because he did all this investigative reporting, or at least in the Ukraine or somewhere over, because of the times that they tweet, the language in which they use is consistent and lined up. So it's like really crazy what's going on. And I think it's important to note that maybe that's why people are starting to talk about the elections now, because in anticipation that what has happened doesn't happen again.
Right.
You know, because it's beyond just even if we voted Trump in office, there's a separate issue of our elections are flawed.
Right.
I mean, how we vote is not how we vote and what happened last time in the election, even before the whole Russian thing, the voter suppression, you know, accuracy of our voting. I mean, the fact like who runs the machines. I mean, and everything needs to be so transparent. And like the whole electoral college, it doesn't really make sense with the delegate, you know, like for me, you grow up learning that majority rules. You vote for something, the most people who want it, you know, that's what it is. But that's not how it is really in our country.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, but it's only because of that, because they don't want to give all the power to the big state.
Of course, 100%. Right? I get that. But I think that, you know, because of the state of our country that it's in, normally we wouldn't be talking about elections so necessarily far in advance, but we just are kind of leaderless. So, you know, we're looking forward to some normalcy
back, right? Yeah, anything is fine. Yeah, I know. But what can you do? You know, I mean, that's what happens.
I honestly, though, do feel like, how do you feel? I mean, in California, I feel that we're pretty protected here. Our government, you know, it is pretty liberal, progressive, but still, I mean, you feel comfortable in California.
In California, yeah. You know, I mean, I feel, in a way, I'm disappointed that that in California, really, if you're a Republican, you don't really have a voice because this state is always going to be Democratic.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, it's sort of discouraging. But at the same time, look, I've lived here for many years.
But we had Arnold, who was kind of like a moderate. You laughed.
Yeah, but he wasn't that great. Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't that great, but he was still, was he not a Republican?
Well, but that was in the state. I'm talking about the national elections. You know, California is always...
You don't like Kamala Harris or anything?
No,
or?
I'm talking about like... the votes for the president is what I mean. Like the Electoral College.
Because it's... California is
always
going to
be...
Well, we
Democratic.
Had Reagan. You guys
that's
Reagan.
True. That's true. But that was a long time ago before we were so divided.
Well, I think what it is... I mean, you could probably still find... candidate, like, you know, you're saying yesterday you've decided personally like country over party, right. So maybe that there are people in other parties, not necessarily blue, Democrat or whatever, that may align with your morals and values,
right?
So maybe it's by individual now, for, you know, maybe you need to just do a little bit more research on the person that you're voting for. What,
but who do we have really? We only have two, you know. But I mean, look, I think this was
is a wake up for people to take really close attention to even their local elections, which I think a lot of people don't. And they it's kind of like, you know, sports. People only care pay attention to the Super Bowl or the, you know, the championships, but everything else, like, who gives what it took to finally get there? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that, you know. For, like, I voted in a local election in California this year for our I don't know the people, but I did my little research and asked around, and I think it's people are realizing that we need to start there locally and see who we're putting in office in our neighborhoods and our communities.
True. And it seems like nobody cares, right?
Us? And that's
turnout
the thing.
Is
even
terrible.
When I went a couple months ago and when I voted, the turnout still wasn't great. And with all the marketing and propaganda on both sides, even locally, about like housing measures and things like that, because, you know, we were voting on things, you know, those kinds of issues, there still wasn't a great turnout.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, well, how are you to complain?
Right.
You can't complain if you don't participate. I don't.
But you have to understand, you know, that people often, what happens is they go, well, I'm going to go vote, but I don't know any of the people I'm voting for, you know, because
agreed.
There's not.
I think politicians also, I mean, you see it a lot. I mean, the media shows that Democrats are better at doing these town halls. They're a little bit more approachable because I think Democrats typically stand for more of the, like, social issues, which a lot of the mass people care for, and a lot of Republicans, and I'm not saying that Democrats don't do it, but you see this year specifically, a lot of Republicans are avoiding the town halls, or they're, you know, because they feel the pressure, they feel, you know, the animosity and of what's going on in their party, and I can understand why it is their job to be out there being available to their constituents and the people, but I understand why they're, you know, why they're scared, and I think that if you're scared to be in front of your people, you're not the right person
right.
for the job.
I mean, even Trump skips a lot of things,
right?
You know?
And so
because
I think
he knows,
and I 100% agree to you. The voting process, it's very confusing, and we're educated people, and to people who can even speak English,
right?
I mean, how do people who are citizens of this country who may not speak English, they still have to vote, but English may not be their first language or whatever. I mean, it's not user friendly. I mean, we make every, like, the iPhone is so user friendly, but even voting is just not, it's not friendly, it's not accessible to a lot of people. But I think it does start with politicians getting in front of their people and opening up the dialogue, and that doesn't happen a lot.
And I don't think there's a lot happening in the campaigning of local government, because people don't know. I mean, I don't know any of these people.
Yeah.
How am I going to go vote for them, you know, just because it's what I'm reading up there or something? I don't know.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
they don't do enough campaigning.
I grew up in Vegas with two parents who are politicians, and I did the campaign trail with them, and I know, at least from a Vegas is really good with campaigns on a local level, advertising, you know, town halls, being available, like a lot of, you know, politicians being available to their people. But I don't know what the political, you know, landscape is here. I know that there are town halls, and you do see, you know, things going on in the community where politicians are accessible to the people, but I mean, it does happen. I used to hand out flyers with my parents, go door to door. I mean, it's
You see, but that's the thing. If I lived in Vegas, I wouldn't know who the district attorney is or the attorney general, you know, because it's not like, I mean, unless you're really involved
you
in local politics.
Might, though, because like they have a whole television. Vegas is very into the local politics.
Really?
If you live there, you will start to pay attention because even on TV, they broadcast everything locally.
Yeah.
You know, my dad is on TV every day being accessible. I think he's on the radio often and he makes himself available.
That's cool.
But also Vegas is a smaller community. You know, his level of reach is farther probably because of. You know?
No, that's true. Maybe the people there care more than we do here.
Probably.
I don't know, you know.
Maybe.
But
I mean, I don't know if they care more or less, but I think that makes it easier to care in smaller cities, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, you know, because the bottom line is that, like you said, it starts with local. You know, everything is local.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Everything boils down to local. We can have a federal thing. We can even have a state thing. But what affects us immediately is our immediate surrounding, you know. And, you know, I mean, there was no turnout for the mayor's election here, you know, and all that stuff. From what I understood, there was a very low turnout, like 46% or something.
I mean, if there's no if people aren't going to seek out this information, I mean, there's always going
to
be people
it's
going to come to you or it's just going to go, you know, on the wayside and happen without people knowing. And I think that's what happens a lot of the time is things happen without people paying attention because, you know, we're so distracted by other things and, you know, federal government that we forget, you know, how did we get here? You know,
that's true.
That's true. But yeah, I think also with the internet, you know, this is the first, you know, really the first kind of generation of politicians that are learning how to use the internet to market themselves and campaign.
That's true.
And I think, like, you know, you'll look at all the politicians now, they have social media pages, just like celebrities, just like anything else. And Obama was the first president to really use social media in his campaign. So I think, think 10 years down the road from now, you know, all of these, it would make sense that these politicians are communicating via social media, you know, instead of doing maybe actual town halls, they'll do one online where you subscribe and ask questions and there's a moderator. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that is how they do
that's
things.
Probably where it's going, you know, because they have to that's where the people are. The people are in social media.
Because people, I mean, just like anything else, you're not really going to see, people don't want to, just based off the apathy alone that we've seen in the past year or however many years of, you know, the political landscape nowadays, people don't want to get out of their car. I mean, maybe now with we see what's happening, it will motivate them more. But just like we were talking about trends in retail and trends in everything else, there's trends in politics. People aren't getting out to vote. There has to be another way where we can access, you know, make it more accessible to
People probably, I mean, if they don't vote, it's probably because they're not motivated. There's nothing that drives them to go out there.
Well,
and say,
you know, but also, like, we have to, like, break it down, you know. I mean, yes, we should care about voting, but, like, I'm just thinking about, you know, an average person who is in the 9-to-5, their parent, you know, they have kids or whatever. You know, the last thing in their mind, you know, after taking care of their kids or whatever is to get out and drive a, you know, through that traffic and get their vote in, which is why we have vote by mail. You know, I get it, but it's just, it's such an important thing that just gets kind of looked over, if you will. So
I know. And then our politics are not representative
of
what we feel. You
know?
Like the president, for example, who apparently has still a big feud with McConnell, right?
I saw that, yeah.
And they're saying that the Republican Party is freaking out.
You should see also, Trump retweeted an account that the account he retweeted is very anti-Semitic.
Really?
So the account that he like, you know how he likes to retweet fans of his, which are oftentimes not real accounts or they're not, like, they're, it's really weird. The account today, the person that he retweeted had previously said something about Jews that was just not good, about how, just like something about too many Jews or we have enough of them, you know, just, and I'm like, my goodness, you know, like, it's, I mean, it's just,
Yeah.
How much longer?
I know. No, I mean, I have to admit, you know, it's a very uncomfortable time, to say the least, you know, with this president here. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm glad that the GOP is not going behind him blindly.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, honestly, if I were the GOP, I would be concerned. I mean...
Yeah, it's the leader.
Who wants to take responsibility for this guy? You know,
right,
this
exactly.
Up. And I think, you know, people are starting to realize you can only bring up Hillary so much before it's like, okay, you're starting to sound Hillary's like a crazy ex-girl. You know what I mean? Like the girlfriend that's like, but you did. And it's like, okay, you've done so much fucked up shit that doesn't even, like, that's not even a thing anymore. Like, you need to take responsibility, you know?
I know, and he's too busy playing, you know, I don't know, man. It's like, it's unbelievable. Sometimes it's a little surrealistic, I think, surreal.
It does seem kind of like a reality TV simulation, if you will, that we're you know, kind of being subject to like this reverse Truman Show experiment, you know, where maybe Donald Trump is Truman and like he doesn't realize that this is like a joke, you know what I mean? And but we're all like, this is a ridiculous, I don't know. I think, you know,
he had another person depart the White House, another communications staffer.
Oh,
so
today?
So he's losing a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is what happens when you, I mean, you could put, it doesn't even have to be the White House. It's an example of someone who's just not right for a position. You can clearly see, even in like a company, when someone new comes on, it's never a good thing when, you know, a bunch of people start to, I mean, people who have been there for years. It's never a good sign.
No, I mean, he would have been fired in a company a long time ago with this kind of a rating, you know?
Well, the rating, but never mind the language in which he uses and you know, the did you hear the white supremacist from the Vice video is like has like four felonies. He's like gonna go to prison probably. Did you read about
what's
that?
A Vice video?
There was Vice did a documentary on Charlottesville.
Okay. Who's Vice?
Vice News.
Have you heard of Vice? No.
Oh, Vice is amazing. Vice is it's a media outlet, and they also have they're on HBO. So if you ever HBO,
I don't have HBO.
It's kind of like you can also watch everything they do online. It's really good. It's more catered towards millennials, I would say, but it's just a different. I really like their edge in how they report on some news.
Cool.
The way they do
so
news.
They comment on news.
So they, or
and stuff
no,
like
no,
that.
they create content. They'll do documentaries. They're a media website. So they're news. They're journalists or whatever. It's a journalist site. And they did a documentary. Like they sent a reporter down to Charlottesville when the riots or protests were happening, rather, and she interviewed people on the white supremacist side who were, you know, supporters of Trump and hate Jews and all this stuff. So the guy who was in it got in trouble.
Really?
Yeah. So that, I mean, if you haven't been following along, I'll send you the links. It's really interesting. It's a Vice does, like you, we were talking about earlier, how everything, like even our movies are shrinking. The docs they do are like maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes long. So
That's digestible for me. Yeah.
You would like it.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I don't have HBO, but
you
maybe
just go to their website, vice.com, and they do a lot of reporting on a lot of different things.
Oh, okay.
And it's they give like daily brief rundowns of like what's going on in the world, if you will. So
yeah, you know, isn't it interesting that there are billions of websites on the internet, and yet I find myself usually always going to the same websites. You know, it's not like, you know, every day you try like 50 different websites.
I kind of do though, because
that's cool.
I guess
do you hear about them and stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm as a communications major in college, like I did a lot of writing, and one of the first things they always told you is to check your sources. Like always, where is your information coming from? Because I had to do a lot of writing and I had to do a lot of research. So to prove my point, I had to use like credible sources. Right. And, you know, Wikipedia is not a credible source.
Yeah.
And I mean, we just learned about how to identify. So for me, it's crazy for me to think that people can get locked in this mess of retweeting these websites that are come off as news, but they are really fake news. They're right, not real. Right. You know, they're left wing, right wing, whatever they are, but they're just not, you know, credible. So, yeah, that's just like what I was taught. I had to, you know, I had to be my own journalist. I had to, do that. So
I know. You make a factual error in reporting in the newspaper, you get fired, man. I remember that, you know. I mean, if you, and you get into trouble if you misspell a name, if you don't get it right, because they focus so much on facts. I took journalism in college, and I remember I was on the staff of the newspaper of the college. And they told us, you know, you make a, they call it GFE, I think, gross factual error. And if you make that, you fail the course.
Right. Like you, it is the journalist's responsibility, like to check, double check, editors, you know, like, because what you are putting out there is going to be taken as truth.
Right.
And that's the problem with the internet is, there's no filter for that.
People, so, just anybody reports, you know?
Well,
so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Citizen journal, anyone can be a journalist nowadays, and any website can be taken, you know, if people aren't taught that this is not real news, this is not a real source, then how are they to know? So that's why I think, you know, how we're kind of in a lot of this, like why people are like, well, Hillary did this and well, Trump did this. But it's like, as you were saying, I like to read, like I'll go to MSNBC, I'll see what CNN is, I'll unfortunately go up to Fox. I will see, like, you know, if something's happening, like a big story, I like to see how they're all putting out the news and how different, you know, the facts are being written, how the bias is or whatever. But there's some really good websites out there that aren't, you know, typically biased that you can just find news on.
That's,
you know,
true, yeah. But I mean, and I mean all kinds of sites, not necessarily political or anything. You know, just like for me, it's always Facebook, this, that. You know, but of course, if you hear of a great website, you go there. But it used to be when the internet was very small, like Yahoo would put in like cool side of the day or something, you know, and they would discover it and stuff because there were so few websites. So they showed you what the cool site of the day is and of the week and all that stuff. So that was fun to discover.
Right. I mean, there's no internet police, you know, it's just a rabbit hole when you go on there. So
true. So let's move on, I guess, to happier things. Only one ticket was a winner on the Powerball jackpot. Did you hear that? $759 million.
Where was the winner?
In Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So this is almost $1 billion.
That's insane.
You know what I'm saying?
Massachusetts,
and, eh? Yeah. And I guess, yeah. So, and check this out. The next ticket got all the numbers except the Powerball number. And they made only $1 million.
Only a million.
But it shows you one number can make you from a millionaire to a billionaire. Just one number. It was a number 4.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I know, man. I know. But you know what? If you don't play, you're never going to win.
What would you do with all that money?
I don't know. Didn't even think about it. I don't need that much money. That's what I'm saying, you know? Who needs that much money? You know, give me a fraction of it, I'll live great. But yeah, you can't win if you don't play, and I don't play the lottery, you know. But they're saying it usually affects, it's most unfair to poorer people because they're the ones that play it more, you know. But that's what you see. You go to 7-Eleven or a liquor store, and they start there with all their tickets and their numbers, and I'm going, my God, man. So, yeah. Also, my air conditioning is supposed to be fixed now as we speak.
Amazing.
I'm still doubtful, but we'll see. That will wrap up 2 months of no air conditioning.
That's terrible.
And I understand that this weekend is going to be very hot, too.
Oy.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where you go when you have a landlord that's an asshole. But what can he do?
Perfect.
Yeah. So, also... Are there any good movies coming out this week? Is the movie It coming this week? I think it is.
Is that not out?
No, not, it's not out yet. It's going to be out this week, I think, because they're saying that over here, the It Haunted House will terrify you. Wow, I can't.
Yeah, I live right around the corner from that, and I will not be attending that house.
How do you know what house it is?
Because I live right around the corner from Hollywood Boulevard.
Right.
I mean, right off the
corner.
And
is that where they filmed it?
No. The house in which they're having the, like, haunted house. It's right around the corner from where I live.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see what you mean. So it's not in the movie. They just created a haunted house around the It theme.
Right.
Is that what you said?
Yes, yes,
okay,
yes.
Okay, I totally
it's
misread
literally
the
right
headline.
Around the corner.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe I'll go to that, huh? Sounds pretty good. You don't like clowns, right?
I am not a fan. Not my biggest.
But it's not just a clown. That's what I'm saying. I mean, they keep focusing on that. But it's a monster that changes shape, I mean, all the time. You know, it's something that's not of this world. And how do you describe that? Only Stephen King can do that. You know, where you actually buy into it.
Yeah.
That there's something like that, you know?
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know. Clowns have never been, like, my idea of a good time.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm indifferent about them. I think they're ridiculous, but you know, maybe people are scared of them or don't like them because maybe of an early trauma in your childhood,
yeah,
you know, where
probably being forced to watch the movie It.
God,
I just think that, like, a lot of clowns that I knew were just like weird old men with, like, poorly put on makeup, and I'm
that's true, right?
Just like, what
just like
motivated you to do this for a living, and how are you more stable than I am? You know what I mean?
That's like a good question. Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know, not to knock it. I think clowns have a place in this world. You know, clowns are people, and clowns.
Yeah, but those big shoes and stuff. I mean, come on, man. I don't know where that idea even came from. I think it's like from medieval times. You
probably
know?
The French.
They would dress like jokers and clowns and things like that. You know, but it's interesting because I'm reading.
I think you're right. It probably was from medieval times. Like, there was like the clown, the comedian, the court jester,
exactly, you know. So I think that's what it was. They were meant to entertain, and that's how it evolved, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they kind of look like Charlie Chaplin in a way. He had like shoes that are big and weird and was walking funny and stuff, and very funny, you know. So maybe that's where it came from. I don't know where the red nose came from, but
I think clowns need a makeover. Like, why hasn't someone come in and just like updated the clown look? You know, make them like sexy.
Maybe
clowns.
In It, it will be.
Yeah.
You know, it's a modern movie. I'm sure they're going to try and outdo everything that was done before. Mm. So who stars in the movie, though? I'm wondering. Probably unknowns for the most part, huh? Because it's a group of kids and stuff, and it's so anyway, yeah, I'm distracted. So I guess we're gonna have a boxing fight this weekend.
Yeah,
I was invited to a party. Maybe I'll just go because
Hell yeah.
I totally don't care about boxing. I probably won't watch any of it, but it's a party, you know.
I loved boxing,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
I love boxing.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
I grew up in Vegas, so
that's true. That's where it all happened.
I mean, I remember watching the Mike Tyson Evander Holyfield fight like live, watching the ear fall onto the ring, and I was like, my mind was blown. I was just like a little girl, and
are
I was
serious?
Like, what the heck? Just I was like, I'm pretty sure that that's not like a, I was just like, I didn't even. I'm like, how is this even possible? You know, and how did this even happen? I watched it.
Did you understand that he had just bitten his
ear?
Yeah,
and I just remember thinking, like, what a bad move. You know, like, what a bad decision. I mean, yeah. And just, you know, like, just now, like, man, that Mike Tyson fight's dirty. You
right,
know? Like,
right. Did they ban him or something after that? Or
yeah,
something?
He got in trouble.
He did get in trouble. That. I can't see how they let
Mike
him get
Tyson
away with
is
him.
Like an is like another. I mean, minus the whole murdering thing, but he, you know, he was very abusive to a lot of his, you know, significant others, but he's like another OJ to me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. He keeps getting into trouble.
I mean, he's just like a character in pop culture that, like, we've kind of just, like, you know, embraced. Not to say that we've embraced OJ, because by no means have we, but we've embraced Mike Tyson despite his many fuck-ups. And
right.
You know.
That's true. That's true. But they're saying he changed a lot lately.
I'm sure,
what did
you know,
I hear
I'm sure
about
people,
that?
You know, whatever. I mean, listen, when Mike Tyson made a cameo in Hangover, I mean, that was like a redemption. You know what I mean? Like, forget about he bit Evander Holyfield's ear off and, like, has serious anger issues, like, but it's like, forget, you know,
yeah,
he has a tiger and big, you know, like, it's Mike Tyson. We love him. He's got a lisp.
Yeah,
you know,
I know. Remember, he was married to, what was her name, do you remember?
Mm-mm.
Who he was married to that he was abusing. She was famous at the time, and God, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's slipping my mind.
Yeah. I'll look it up while we're talking, but the thing is that I'm not into boxing at all. And, you know, but I'm going for the party, you know?
I like boxing working out. I feel like you would like boxing working out.
Really?
Yeah, it's really fun.
Oh, like to work out,
yeah.
You mean? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
I like
would.
Both.
I'm
I
thinking
like
of doing...
I like both, like boxing, working out, and watching boxing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Robin Givens is her name.
Ah,
do you
okay.
remember
yeah,
her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back
I mean,
in the
it
day.
Was a, yeah, it was a long time ago. 1988?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is a long time ago. But, yeah, she's the first one that said he was abusive, mm-hmm. and things like that, you know. So, but anyway, so I'm going to the party just to be with people. You know, I think it'll be cool. I don't know why I don't get into boxing. Maybe it's too repetitive for me. I don't have a lot invested in it.
Like, it's not so much necessarily about, I mean, it is about the fight itself, but there's just so much hype that goes into it right before the drama and the,
right.
You know, the simulation of them, like, weighing in and, you know, having those exchange of words that are like,
I know,
I'm
this apparently
ass,
is taking,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
the same years of trash talk.
It's just, it's, yeah, it's, there's the hype that's built up around it. Plus, like, knowing how much money.
Right.
Is, I mean, to watch two men fight it out, it, like, I mean, go to a bar and you'll see the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, it's like our modern day
so
gladiators.
It really
know?
Is. And, you know, I mean, that's, it's just part of Vegas culture. And I think, like, just if I didn't grow up in Vegas, I wouldn't like it
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, you don't care so much about it.
But, yeah, it's that's just, you know, gathering around with the family or having, you know, it was like an event in Vegas, like your friends
see,
would come
okay.
over and,
yeah,
you know, it was like our Super Bowl,
it.
You know, and it was just exciting. But yeah, it is. There's so much drama that goes, you know, that goes into these two dudes fighting.
Know. So it's Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Saturday, right? Saturday
yeah.
afternoon, I think. So, what the hell is this?
Oh, we
okay.
got some.
I hate to go on the sports page of CNN because they always do this.
Yeah, they are.
They start something automatically. A couple things. I mean, we're talking about CNN here. I guess this is something that's pretty disturbing. I guess security cameras show a child being dragged at school. So two teachers picked him up. He's autistic. They picked him up, carrying him. Let's say this is not so bad, but then they started dragging him face down on the floor.
That's terrible.
I mean, like you would drag a dead animal or something. I mean, this is unbelievable, you know, in Ohio, Crestline, Ohio, elementary school. And, you know, it's like, you know, you send your kid to school where it's safe for the kid. You hope that people will look out for him, especially if he's autistic, and this is what you see, you know. I mean, if I was the parent, I don't know what I would do. I would be so devastated, you know?
I mean, sadly, I feel like a lot of this happens a lot.
Yeah,
a lot
teachers
of
like abuse kids.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. This is where you send your kids to go for the majority of their
day,
childhood,
right,
you know.
Right.
Your kids spend more time at school with the people that you... you know, send them off to than they technically do, you know, with you at home.
Right.
So, I think obviously now because of the internet, we hear more about it, you know, things like this, you know, abuse happening, but it's just, you know, who are these people who are watching our kids? It's, right. You know, so
that's true, right? Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I've seen teachers that should not be with kids. They should not be teaching kids because they have no patience for them.
There's always those teachers, like even, I'm sure you had them even when you were growing up. Like you just had kids in high school or teachers in high school and in elementary school, even as like a student, when you're young, even at 18, 17, you can pick up the vibes and the energy of a teacher
who really
just doesn't
want
to be there.
Right,
you know, you can just tell they're here for the paycheck.
Either that or they hate kids.
Or they're just, you know, this is all that they had left. This is the only option they, you know, because they say those who can't do teach, you know.
Right.
Like you couldn't, you know, there was nothing else literally for you to do than to show up and make us miserable, you know. So I mean, but then on the flip side, like I had some incredible teachers, you know.
Right, they're very inspiring.
I
agree with you.
And it's so hard to be a teacher. Like we don't pay teachers enough, and that's the flip side, is, you know, maybe we would get better quality if we valued them more.
I think we would. I have to agree with you. The teachers are so underrated.
So underpaid.
When entertainers and athletes make more money than some, just to entertain us.
Than the people who are in charge of...
Of our kids.
Of your kids.
Our
where
future.
Your values and the morals, like really where they're going to develop.
Right.
And I mean, teachers aren't just teachers. I mean, they're parents, they're therapists, they're... doctor, you know, whatever. What, there's so many things.
Right.
And being in that role is so tough, especially like kids growing up today is so different than how kids grew up. You know, even when I grew up as a kid, like they have so many different issues that weren't even around back in the day. Like, especially with like, again, oh, I hate to bring this up, the internet and technology and having to like, you know, just cyberbullying and not just being aware of like the bullying that's going on in the school, but like the bullying that's going on that you can't see. I mean,
right.
These are issues that, you know, that you don't even know you have to worry about.
Right.
So
and social media magnifies.
So
and
we
amplifies
exactly,
everything.
Exactly. And we don't, we pay, you know, teachers basically minimum wage to, you know, be around all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And she says, so that's one thing that I would agree on. Is that, or that I would even advocate, is to have the government help pay more to the teachers.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I think government can intervene,
well,
and because it's very important, you see, because
yes.
I'll tell you what, the amount of money you make is relative to how much money you're making for your boss. And the athletes and the entertainers make millions of dollars and billions of dollars, thus they get paid millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Teachers don't earn their employer anything,
right.
So they don't get a lot of money.
Right.
And that's why you have this, like, you know, no, this, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And also, you know, this is the this is the foundation of where kids learn how to be, right? I mean, if your parents aren't going to be teaching you interpersonal skills, you're going to learn these skills. You're supposed to learn them at school.
Right.
And I mean, there's just not enough money that is going into education, and that's really where, you know, we're preparing the future of our country.
Exactly.
And that's why we look at other places. Like, I'm not saying other countries, you know, other countries treat education differently, and it's interesting.
They do.
It's interesting to see,
and it works,
how,
you know?
How other countries, you know, like why, you know, kids in Asia, even though there's like a high suicide rate, but they, or even in Russia, they just force these kids. And I'm not saying this is the right way, but like there has to be another way because these kids are so disciplined.
Right.
I mean, maybe they're not emotionally inept, you know, but they're smart as fuck. They
right.
had to learn, you know, what they had to learn, and there was no other option. In other countries, there's no reward for trying.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
whereas
yeah.
in America, we just celebrate for sure. There's literally, I got perfect attendance growing up.
Yeah.
I got an award for a perfect attendance in class.
Really?
That literally meant that I got an award for my mom bringing me to school every
yeah,
day.
Right?
Making sure that I didn't miss one day. That's a genuine award. You
right.
know, that would not be an award in another country, you know, like
that's true, just, right. It's not a
know?
Big deal. Yeah. But you know what? And I have to agree with you on this. And for me, a good example that I'm familiar with is Israel,
mm-hmm.
because Jews in general and Israelis in particular really believe in education.
Right.
And, you know, at the foundation, of Israel, Ben-Gurion said that education is going to be our biggest weapon, you know? Yeah. And it's turned out to be that way.
It's true.
Even the military educates you, you know?
And I feel like, at least in Israel, making it a requirement to go through that experience of going through the military and just learning those skills, like, I mean, I think it is, you know, in essence, good for, it is good for, I mean, it is a good thing. But also, you know, how we learn needs to be changed, because I just feel that I was one of those kids that I couldn't just sit in a classroom and read a book about another country and then have to like understand that. Yeah. I'm an experiential learner. Like, I learn as I experience things, like I see. I'm actually doing it, you know, like as I'm, you know, experience learning rather than this is what happened, memorize this and then take a test in it. You know, that's not really learning. Anyone can memorize facts or whatever, but are you retaining it, or can you teach it back to someone? Can you really understand what you're learning? And I think that, at least in America, that is the traditionally how we think that kids learn best, is by making them memorize a bunch of shit and
that's
then take
true.
A test.
Yeah.
And I think studies are showing, like, I know that I'm smart. I consider myself an intelligent person, but I know that the way that I was taught and a lot of times in high school and middle school was not best suited for how I learn.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think that education, just like anything else, it should be kind of like not a catered experience, because not everyone learns the same way. And I think that's where we get in trouble as like a society, where we, you know, expect kids to learn everything the same way.
Right. No, absolutely. But then
also,
later on, you get to go to different schools,
you know. Some do, but also I think we don't, like in other countries, they start kids earlier learning trades and like skills, and you know, like really paving a path for them to go into like what their strengths are,
right?
Or at least they force them into like, you have to pick something at an early age, you know, in fifth grade you're building cars maybe, and you know, I don't know. But we don't do that. We kind of in America we're like, you'll figure it out, you're not supposed to know. And I feel like, you know, there should be more encouragement of like, what are your strengths, identifying what those are at a young age if you can.
Right And that's and I mean, if I think in that case, if the parents care enough, then they'll have the school really look at their kid, see his accomplishments and everything. But the parents have to be involved. I don't believe we should leave too much for the schools, because you see, they drag their fucking kids on the floor. Yeah, so that's that. All right, so anyway, we're just at the top of the show, and too bad our guests are not here. Maybe they just figured, you know what, the run of their movie is over, so they don't need to be here to promote it. I don't know. Something did happen, and, you know, how I feel about it. You know, people come to you, they ask you, and you make a time for them, and they don't show up. So there you go. That's the price of doing live stuff. But we ain't complaining, folks.
Yeah, we had a good convo today.
Yep. Look, there's an active shooter in Charleston, South Carolina. Breaking news. Police activity is focused around a restaurant in the heart of downtown. Wow. This country is really, really boiling. And it's like as though we don't have enough enemies without. We have many within, and that's the problem. All right, Rachel, thanks as always. You guys have your show coming up next.
Yes,
The Bud. Yes. Stay on right here. And in about 10 minutes, they're going to be starting
live.
Damien and Rachel and Olivia with their awesome show. So check it out. And it was funny. Our guest the other day had listened to your show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he told you about it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I will be listening too. Everybody, take care. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.